Anyway, time to say hello now to Terence Flanagan, who's at his home in Dublin 15. I believe, Terry, you've been recently back to school, so to speak.
Yes, Derek. I was in Trinity College recently.
Yeah?
Colly Ennis, the biodiversity officer in the college, he got in touch to share an interesting interaction he had. He told me he was walking through the campus when something fell from the sky and hit him on the head. When he checked, he discovered it was a walnut. And even though there are some walnut trees on the campus, there wasn't one anywhere near where this happened. So he decided to investigate. And lo and behold, the culprit was a hooded crow.
Now, Terry, if you look, you can see he's just sort of flying up there with the nut in his beak.
Right. And look, he's just dropped it.
He's just dropped it. There you go. Onto the ground.
On the ground, right. And it's on the cement path here.
Yes.
Just beside the museum, is that right?
Just beside the museum building with all the tourists passing by.
And he's down after it.
And you can see now he's going to start. Yeah. He's pecking at it.
Yeah.
And if it's not open this time, he'll go up again and he'll drop it again. But I think he's after getting it open.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Now, the reason I spotted this was because...
Look, there, just there.
Oh, there you go. Back down again.
Yeah. There he's got it open now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's taken this seed out of it.
And they'll do it two or three times because you can... I'm going to give you one of the nuts.
Yeah.
There, you can put it in your hand. They're very, very hard.
Yeah, they are very... And they're quite large too. Well, they're probably... twice the size of an acorn.
Yeah, yeah. And they vary.
There's a bigger one there as well.
They're a type of walnut.
Yeah.
So you can imagine when we used to get them at Halloween. But, very hard.
He's after getting the nut out of that and he's after flying off.
Flying off. Very, very happy with himself.
So tell us, what's been happening here in Trinity then for the last month or so?
We're coming into autumn and we have a few fruit and nut trees around the college. And our hooded crows have figured out how to get in at the lovely nut inside the walnut. Mm-hmm. And how they're doing it is basically they're collecting them, coming over to this side of the college, flying up onto the roof of the museum building or into the trees above us here, and then they're just dropping the nuts onto the ground and cracking them open. Now, it's a behaviour that's commonly known that corvids do. Lots of crows will do that kind of behaviour. But I've never seen it in the wild before. Not in Ireland anyway, so.
Well, I know we had a listener on recently. I think it was Elizabeth King was her name. And she was telling us exactly the same story. But it wasn't with walnuts. It was with corvids who were on the beach. I think it was Lissadil Beach in Sligo. Mm. And there were hundreds of them. And they were coming in just before dusk. And I know Derek and Jim Wilson were discussing this. And the whole idea of being, they believed, where it was about feeding, about collecting food. Mm-hmm. But they had to open it. And to open it, they were flying up in the air and dropping them down.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really, and you know, sometimes when you're passing by on the street, you wouldn't notice these little wonders that happen in nature. And it's one of those things, especially in here in Dublin. I was delighted to see it and to see how clever they are and the ingenuity of them and, you know, placing the nut in just the right area to drop it so it will split open. And
where is the walnut tree?
We've a couple. We've one in the Chief Steward's Garden. There's a couple over beside the Botany Building. They're all over.
Well, the Botany Building is probably 200 metres away from here.
The trees aren't close. This is the thing. So
that's just over on the far side. They're close to the pavilion.
Yes, yeah.
So they're actually taking them...
off the tree. And when they take them off the tree, they actually... it's not just the nut exposed. They're actually sometimes green.
Yeah.
So the flesh is over the nut. So they'll drop it enough times to start peeling that off. Then they have the nut, and then they have to get into the nut, so then they're taking that off again, dropping it again until the fruit is available to them.
Well, now, the first thing I'd be thinking of is the amount of energy that they're expending or using to get in at this food.
Yeah.
It seems quite a lot, because we watched that guy there, and he was up and down twice before he got into it.
Sometimes three and four times, you know, if it's a particularly big one. But I'm assuming that I'm not an expert in nut nutrients, but I'm assuming that it's quite valuable to them.
Well, it must be, because they wouldn't be doing it otherwise.
Exactly, and when you consider that there is still an awful lot of human food that will be left around, especially with students and tourists on campus, that they're picking the nuts over that, over, you know, the end of a sandwich or whatever. They're still really, really focused on eating these for the last number of weeks. So it must be very valuable to them.
Yeah, and of course, that's a natural food for them too. So they'll be more inclined to go that. I know when I put out seeds in the garden, they won't come near it until all the hawthorn berries are gone and all the likes of that as well.
Yeah.
Now that term has started again, I see there are a lot of students on the campus. What's the reaction of the students when they see this happening? Or do they even notice it?
I put up some stuff on social media about it, so I think more people have been coming down to observe it. But I don't think it was well known that they did this on campus. I certainly didn't know. I'm here 25 years. I never noticed them doing it before. And it was just sheer luck. I was walking along here and a nut nearly hit me in the head. So I said, where did that fall from? Because there was obviously no trees of that type around. And then I spotted the crows.
And you can see too, there's a lovely ledge there on the museum, so it's easy for them
perfect
to get
for them. Perfect for them.
And they can watch from there too.
Yeah, and all the buildings here in the library beside us as well, beside the museum, it's quite concrete, very brutalist structure.
Yeah.
So it's like a ready-made anvil for them.
There's another one now. He's after landing on the ledge. He's dropped it. He's dropped one down there on the ground, and it's cracked open this time.
Straight away, and he'll actually pick that up and fly off to another area to eat in peace, because they can be quite nasty to each other sometimes. If one of them sees one with a nice meal, they might steal it on him.
Now, there's always a glut of food at this time of the year, so I presume they're caching some of them as well.
I haven't seen any of them do that, but it wouldn't surprise me. One of my colleagues in the college said that they came across a pile of shells off the nuts in a corner out of the way, so it wouldn't surprise me if they had been hidden away for a rainy day.
I wonder, do they choose which ones they cache and which ones they'll feed on at the moment? In other words, will they feed on the best ones or will they leave the best ones for during the winter?
That's an interesting one. I don't know, but I can only imagine that if maybe one of them isn't ripe, ready to go, you could put it away and have it for a couple of weeks' time or a month's time.
And I presume as well, too, when they're caching them, that they'll spend more time looking for the ideal spot if it's a big, juicy nut rather than small.
Exactly, yeah. And there's so many nooks and crannies in this college that you can put them away and well out of the reach of the squirrels on campus and any other little nibblers that might be around.
We've only seen one at a time coming here now, but I know on my estate, I still see a family of hooded crows together. So do you get a family of them around?
We don't have massive amounts of them, but there definitely are a group of them that kind of, I'd say four or five, that are engaging this behaviour. And then you have, if you look behind you there, we have the magpies.
Oh yeah, I see.
Now, they haven't figured out how to do the same thing, but they do kind of hassle and harass a single crow on their own, which is very interesting, to try and steal the stuff. And they root around looking for where the crows might have stashed some nuts as well.
You know, kind of, I have a theory, and that is that because these hooded crows, they stay together for so long that the young can watch the older ones so that they can actually learn from it.
Absolutely. I've observed that.
If you look at the magpies, the magpie, the young tend to leave
very quickly.
Yeah. It's a bit like, I suppose, the tin foil on the top of the milk bottles?
Yes, yeah.
Whereas the blue tits learned that and passed it on from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. The robins who were there, because they got rid of the young so quickly, they never really passed it on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've noticed some of the what I'm imagining are younger crows observing the more skilled nutcrackers.
In other words, mummy and daddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe an older sibling, or just a bird that knows that skill much better, and you can see them watching and then trying it themselves, trying to duplicate it. So,
Are there any other species that are doing this?
Not on campus here, so it's very, very unique.
I'm thinking of, say, jackdaws or something like that, closely related species.
Oh, I think a lot of corvids do this kind of behavior.
But have you seen that here?
Here? No.
Because it's unusual, I suppose, with walnuts, because, as you say, they're an unusual nut.
Yeah.
Not like an acorn. Like an acorn, it's a beautiful size for a jay or for a magpie or that, and you don't have to break it open. You either eat it now or you go off and store it.
Yeah, it's very unusual. And it's like, to be honest with you, I was a bit amazed that we actually had walnuts on campus.
Yeah.
It was my introduction to the fact that we had them. So, quite unusual. And really, really, like I said, it's just one of those things, very, very interesting to see and observe and watch this behaviour and see it. Because I've seen it on documentaries and all. You see crows putting nuts on pedestrian crossings.
Yes.
So cars will run over them and you see them.
That's a classic one from Japan.
That's a classic one, yeah.
Whereby they would take the nut. They would go to a pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
They would put it on the road, knowing exactly where the car was going to go, and then wait for the pedestrian crossing. The car comes up, stops, crunches it, goes off, and then the bird was out.
Goes on, and feeds it. Yeah, yeah. It's a well documented thing, and I always found it very interesting. So, like I said, it was just very, very cool to see it happening here on campus.
Now, one of the things about the jays and the acorns, when they plant them, they don't always remember where
That's true. Yeah, I've been watching them up in Wicklow doing that.
Yeah, and you find an oak tree or young oak sapling growing in a most unusual spot. I've seen them grown in apple orchards and things like that. Have you come across any walnut trees, young trees or sapling walnut trees in the grounds here that would probably have occurred due to this method of caching food by the hook crows?
Not yet, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like I said, I don't know how long they've been engaging in this behaviour. I don't know if it's a recent thing or if it's been going on for a long time. So it'd be interesting to see what happens down the line.
The walnut trees, walnuts are an unusual tree. I presume it's a kind of a specimen tree. I wonder, was it planted by someone special?
A lot of our trees here would have been part of either historical collections or botanical exchanges. So it wouldn't surprise me if somebody from the botany department, for example, might have brought it in to put it in maybe many, many years ago.
Is it just the walnuts that the crows are going after, or is there any other species of tree that they're taking their nuts and seeds from?
So we have a plum tree over beside our creche. They really like that when that comes into fruit. I've also noticed the younger crows, like I was saying, before they kind of get their wings in nut cracking, for want of a better term, they will try and eat horse chestnuts. So, and they're not,
they're
not palatable to them at all. But
they're all those tannins, I
exactly,
think.
Exactly. So you can see them kind of messing around with them.
So what they're doing is they're really trying to learn.
They're learning, exactly. You know, because some of them will look quite similar to the walnuts, without the spikes on them.
That's right, yeah.
And you can see the younger birds getting quite frustrated, and it's funny to watch them as they pick it up.
Have you collected any of these seeds for planting yourself?
I haven't, not yet.
You'd be into that.
I might consider that now. That's a really good suggestion. So, I'll definitely do that.
So you can thank the crows.
I'll thank the crows and thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry. And Collie Ennis, I've never had a walnut fall on my head. Have you?
I have to say, I haven't. I do like walnuts, but no, I'd rather get them from a packet, I think.
Didn't even know we had walnut trees in Ireland, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, yeah, they grow quite well in an Irish climate, and I've definitely seen them growing. I really like foraging like wild nuts. A lot of chestnuts around this year as well. Sweet chestnuts, that is.
Well, it's a mast year, isn't that what we've been saying?
It is, yes. Yeah, so many fruits and seeds all over the place. It's going to be a bumper year for the animals that feed on those.
Anyway, Niall, you're heading north next week. I believe you'll have a report for us soon from Norway.
Yes, going very far north up to Tromsø in the Arctic. So it's going to be cold. And I'm there not for birds this time. I'm there to make a documentary for the Christmas schedule about reindeer, a very Christmassy animal.
A Mooney Goes Wild special all about reindeer. Looking forward to it. Niall, thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Terry and everybody else who worked on today's programme. Don't forget to visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. We'll do it all again next week. Until then, goodbye. Goodbye.